Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Monday, April 1st, 2024. And our top story today, providing underserved children with dental care. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Dr. Ryan Richard Ruff is an associate professor, and Tamarinda J. Barry-Godin is a dentist and also researcher at the New York University College of Dentistry. Ryan, Tamarinda, it is so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And I was joking with you guys. I really like this study a lot, and it piqued my interest because self-interest, in my own self-interest, you know, going to the doctor, getting cavities filled, not my favorite thing, no offense to the dentists out there. But Ryan, I want to start with you. Let's talk about this study and what the study was set out to do and what it found. So let's start there.
Sure. So we focus on dental caries, cavities, like you said, and it's the world's most prevalent chronic health condition. 2.5 billion people worldwide have it. And it's not just about, you know, function and impairment. There's infection, there's pain, there's impacts on quality of life, on academic performance. And it's one of those inequitable diseases. Most of the higher risk individuals, particularly children, come from low income minority demographic groups. And to increase access to care, a number of organizations like the CDC recommend school-based sealant programs. So you've probably had a dental sealant when you were younger. And the idea is you use the school as an access point to provide preventive oral medicine to children. And those are very effective, but they can be underutilized in a number of different situations due to either financial reasons or lack of available trained clinicians to provide them. So we were looking at how we can expand the reach and effectiveness of school-based oral medicine programs with a focus on disease prevention. So we wanted to compare this alternative treatment known as silver diamine fluoride, which is quite common internationally, a little less so in the United States, to see if it's similar in effectiveness to that traditional school-based sealant model. And we did this randomized trial within schools to see how it compared. We, in the scientific language, we use what's called non-inferiority. We were trying to show that the silver diamine fluoride treatment was no worse than the sealants. And our results largely confirmed that hypothesis.
And Tamarinda, let's talk about the implementation and engagement. Ryan did a very great job kind of laying it all out. But as Ryan said, there's a lot of inequity, access just in general in this country, and I would assume abroad, inequitable access to healthcare and dental care, very important as Ryan has just said. How do you implement or operate or direct this type of study? How do you sample? How do you reach the appropriate audience?
Absolutely. That's a wonderful question. So when it comes to public health interventions, the number one most important factor is buy-in from the community. The community that you are serving, the target population, need to feel that you are addressing a critical problem and that for it you have an appropriate solution. And so part of what our study was able to achieve in its first phases was meeting the community where they are to inquire after their beliefs around dental cavities and understanding if the school was an appropriate place to address this issue. We got enormous feedback from our community, and then we drew from that community in order to actually build our teams. So many members of our clinical team reflected or looked like the population that we were serving or even came from those same neighborhoods. And that made for an incredible ability to kind of speak the language of the community we were serving, provide an accessible treatment, and ensure that everyone was on the same page about what our goals were, which ultimately are just to ensure that every child has access to preventive oral health services.
And in terms of this particular treatment, Tamarindo, I'll stay with you and maybe go to Ryan. I mean, it wasn't less effective than the traditional method, which is the sealant. I think, again, I'm showing my naivety or my I'm not a doctor, obviously, but Tamarindo, I mean, this solution is just as successful based on the study as the traditional sealant process.
That's correct. So, the way that we would say it in scientific terms is that it's no worse than.
Okay.
But functionally, what this offers is the opportunity to add another tool to the toolbox of alternative site medicine or school-based care. We do not believe that, school-based sealant programs should in any way be replaced. We simply want to make sure that there's another option for addressing communities where the resources that are needed to implement those programs may not be as accessible or prevalent.
And Ryan, I want to come to you because I want to get your reaction. Obviously, you two work together, but I want to get your reaction to my question and get your own perspective on that. I mean, this is no worse than, so it gives, as Tamarinda said, it's just another tool in the toolbox that having a cavity, and I can relate to this because I've had several. I think I'm one of those people that is just predisposed to it. But if you don't get it treated, you're in a lot of pain. You have a lot of dental issues going forward. This is just another tool in that toolbox to help practitioners help keep children safe, their families safe, et cetera.
It is. Numerically, we tracked thousands of children in New York as part of this over a 4-year period. And the number of children and the number of teeth that wound up generating or presenting with caries was almost identical between the two groups. So the original study was to show that it was no worse. So that's where we formulated our analyses. But there are a number of additional benefits here beyond the simple clinical results with respect to caries. There's some added efficiency with silverdiamine fluoride. It's easier to apply. In certain situations, it's faster to apply. And it can be applied by primary care providers and nurses. There were a number of different outcomes in this particular study that were reported in different papers, not just the one recently. That looked at how nurses compared to hygienists in providing silverdiamine fluoride, and we showed that they were similarly effective. And it also improved oral health related quality of life in children and may have also improved their school attendance by treating the underlying disease. So the idea here is exactly what you said. It's expanding the toolbox that clinicians and dental public health experts can use to really increase that access to care and mitigate those severe health inequities. If you're looking at a certain area of a considerably under-resourced school district, for example, that simply don't even have the resources to do a school sealant program or bring dentists into the school or community outreach, it might be another alternative that they can rely on. And in fact, we've been working with a number of districts throughout the United States that are looking at doing just that, using this as an alternative approach until they can implement the traditional sealant model.
Ryan, Tamarinda, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up the conversation. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Dr. Ryan Richard Ruff and Tamarinda J. Barry-Godin, both of whom are with New York University College of Dentistry. Tamarinda, Ryan, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Absolutely.
This is absolutely a fascinating study. And look, the Broadcast Retirement Network is not the first network to cover this, but I there's a lot of places I want to go with this. Ryan, let's talk about some, I think you all have received a lot of inquiries from parents. They've read about the study, they've heard about the study, they've seen information on the study. What kind of questions do you get from parents out there just inquiring, how do I take advantage of this?
Sure. Well, as a relatively new parent myself, my son just turned 1 year old. I'm already thinking about, you know, the inevitable downstream, you know, dental problems that he may encounter. And one of the things that parents come to fear is being told that their child has a cavity and they may need to get, you know, the disease drilled out and filled back in with shots and pain and fear. And I think there's a natural inclination to try and avoid that scenario with everything that they are. And that's one of the benefits that SDF provides. It can stop existing disease from occurring, as well as preventing the development of new caries. And it doesn't need any shots. It doesn't need any drilling. It doesn't need any uncomfortable situations. So being able to have something quickly applied and avoid that is very attractive. And that tends to be a number of the questions that we get when parents read these studies, or even interviewers that have children ask us about it, and how they can ask their clinician about this if they don't have access to a school-based program. You know, does their pediatric dentist offer this? Does their primary care provider offer this? And I think that further lends itself to the appeal and the attraction of this for young children and their parents.
Yeah. And Tamarinda, I mean, listen, you know, as a person, as a young person, I experienced it. The needles were a lot bigger back then. I'll just say they're a lot thinner. They're a lot nicer today, in my opinion. Still not great. But Tamarinda, are there any side effects or things that you need to be thinking about? So this may sound like the perfect solution to what we're talking about, which is the drilling, some of the pain, that first experience with a dentist, but are there some things that you need to be aware of as a guardian or a parent of a child if you're considering this?
So I think for me, we always have to measure the good and the bad of any medical treatment. So the most important takeaways for silver diamine fluoride for me as a board certified pediatric dentist are always going to be that studies like ours show that it can prevent 80% of cavities and arrest or completely stop in its tracks roughly 50% of cavities. But anything that has such an incredible impact is likely to have some sort of side effect, and indeed silver diamine fluoride does. And that would be that for any affected tooth structure, the cavity itself, or any demineralizing structure, that structure can start to darken or discolor when the liquid is painted onto that surface. And so, you know, from day to day, a parent might see or notice a dark spot on their child's teeth. That's likely a cavity. A cavity can be kind of a dark orange to brown in appearance, just as it is. And when painted with silver diamine fluoride, that cavity would darken and discolor to a dark brown and sometimes even black color. As a board certified pediatric dentist, though, I say to myself, that color change is a sign or an indicator of success. I can now say with some degree of confidence that lesion will not spread to any other teeth and will not continue to grow, putting that child at risk of pain, abscess, or infection.
Well, Ryan, I this is certainly a great path for younger children. But I want to ask, there may be some people watching today, and again, I'm looking at things through the lens of my own experiences, and I would love to have had the opportunity to try this when I was younger. But I also could think about it as I'm older. So my question to you is, can this tool be, instead of practical drilling, be used to treat older adults, other demographics, older people, other demographics beyond children?
It can be. Yeah, we focus on pediatric populations because we're concerned with school-based disease prevention. But there's existing research and ongoing studies that are looking at it that shows it's successful also in geriatric populations. And it's important to also note that there's a dichotomy between, treating the existing underlying disease and preventing new disease from occurring. Our study looked at both options and showed that it's quite successful. So it becomes an individual decision about what their clinical needs are and what they'd like to avoid in the office, about what they choose to do for their intervention. And I think that all gets back to the original point about just increasing the number of tools at our disposal to make sure the oral health needs of people are met.
Yeah, and Tamarind, I'll close the interview with you. And what is next in terms of research? So you spent the last several years performing this research, trying to come up with an alternative. It sounds like there is one. But so what's the follow-up here? How do you continue the work, the great work, to make sure that, to Ryan's point and to yours earlier, that more and more children have access to dental care and can avoid some of the pain and suffering that many of us have experienced when we have cavities?
I think the most important questions that remain unanswered are how do you take our findings and findings from similar studies and make them even more accessible on a state-based or on even national or international scale? To date, there is not much information about how to take a program like ours and to ensure that it is financially sustainable, that it is scalable, and that it can be implemented, to have a dramatic and significant effect on any given population, whether it's a school population or a town or city population. So I think that's where, for me, I would say that the research is really headed. How do you take these results and make sure that the research doesn't stay research, but actually transitions into a place of implementation and changes systems, influences policies to ensure that this information is utilized and reaches the people who need to reach it most.
Yeah, and Ryan, I'll give you a chance to answer the question as well. And I do have a follow-up question is, do we ever figure there'll be a time where we can eliminate cavities completely? So do you think that'll be included in research somewhere down the line?
Oh, I'm not going to take that last question.
Okay.
The sustainability would be my first answer to where we go next is with this as well. This was largely, despite the size of this project, I like to refer to it as proof of concept that it works in these pragmatic settings. And now, how do we make sure that different communities, whomever wants to implement it, is supported enough to do so? Policy, training, financial, whatever it takes to make this something that's easily adaptable and translatable in different contexts. There's a few other different scientific questions we're interested in. How do we mold all these interventions together to create a personalized approach to preventive medicine in schools? But in terms of the big picture, that would be where the what really fascinates me next is how do we make this sustainable?
Yeah, and so important for overall health. It really starts with the mouth. Well, Tamarinda, Ryan, it's so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. Great research, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to? Then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, and all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest. So until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.